We're at the site of Benjamin Rush's house now at 3rd and Walnut. Okay, his house is no longer here. A lovely garden spreads over this plot now. But the adjacent brick house that you can see over there gives you an idea of what Rush's house might have looked like, even though it was probably a bit smaller.
Rush was politically connected to the most powerful men in the country, active in all kinds of civic debates and causes.
The most important doctor in Philadelphia, at a time when Philadelphia was the most important city in the country.
That's Stephen Fried, the author of Rush, Revolution, Madness, and the Visionary Doctor Who Became a Founding Father.
In the late summer of 1793, Rush and other physicians begin to see the first cases of the outbreak. Rush had seen yellow fever before when he was a young man, and now he recognizes the symptoms.
The eyes are at first suffused with blood. They afterwards become yellow.
He writes to his wife, Julia, who is in Princeton with the couple's children.
My dear Julia, to prevent your being deceived by reports respecting the sickliness of our city, I sit down at a late hour, and much fatigued, to inform you that a malignant fever has broken out in Water Street, between Arch and Race Streets, which has already carried off 12 persons.
Yellow fever is back, and it could be the worst that they have ever seen.
Many doctors flee from the city, terrified to get sick themselves. Rush stays, treating patients around the clock.
He just worked like crazy. One of the things about Rush, even the people who hated his guts, and some did, they had to admit he was the hardest working man in American medicine.
Newspapers in the city cover the epidemic at a breathless pace.
You had a huge media in the cities. So there were like 6 or 7 daily newspapers, which is almost the equivalent of like the internet bursting out at that time. So media was very, very active, and people were reporting things right away.
Rush and other doctors get advice and tips published. And since many believe the disease is spreading through the air,
they talked about things you could do to prevent the air around you from making you sick. So people thought smoking would help them keep disease away, and they rub themselves with garlic, and one of my favorites was they would soak a rope in tar and then put it around their necks.
Many doctors recommend gentle treatments for the illness, cold or hot baths, wine, or purgatives. At first, Rush seems on board with that lighter touch, but as more and more people are dying,
Rush was like, hey, I did the lighter treatment, and it doesn't work. So he was doing this privately, and he was moving up to using mercury and to use more bloodletting.
Rush is bleeding patients about 20 ounces at a time, often several times in a row, and purging.
From 10 to 20 grains calomel with an equal quantity of jalap are a dose. The patient should drink plentifully of chicken water or water gruel and lie in bed during the operation of the physic, for it generally sweats as copiously as it purges. It moreover sometimes pukes when it finds bile on the stomach.
His political opponents, like his enemy, Federalist Alexander Hamilton, say Rush's approach is bad and harmful.
When there's no science, politics will take over. So we think that's a modern concept, but in fact, it comes from the very beginning of America. The very beginning of freedom is freedom to have this ridiculous fight about politics when we don't know the scientific facts. Everything's political because in reality, while you have people claiming what I'm doing works, in reality, nothing is working.
Still, many Philadelphians think this is their best hope for survival once they fall ill. And the palliative care Rush provides is both physically and emotionally supportive. They recognize Dr. Rush's one-horse carriage that he drives himself.
When he was on the way to house calls, people would reach out to him, please, Dr. Rush, come into my house. Please come do this.
Rush treats everybody, regardless of income, class, or race. And despite, or as some of his political enemies say, because of his tireless efforts, people continue to die. Rush loses his sister to the fever, and he falls ill himself but recovers, and he keeps working.
My dear Julia, 700 have died since the 11th of October. 3,400 have died since the 1st of August. Oh, that God would hear the cries of groans of the many hundred and perhaps thousand sick, which still ascend to his throne every hour of the day and night from our desolating city.
He describes the image of seeing a carriage going around with no driver, just a dead body laying across the seat.
The city is cloaked in smoke and dirt. The smell of death and decay are in the air. And Rush has enlisted the help of his friends in the free black community to alleviate the suffering. Let's go to our next stop, Mother Bethel AME Church, where we will hear about the heroic efforts of African Americans to step in and help during the epidemic.